Good afternoon, good evening, good metal. My name's Coop and welcome to the Spoken Metal Show. This episode we're going to be getting into it about Pentryfest with Fozzy and Beanie, wonderful guests who we've had on before, and they've got an amazing event coming up very, very soon. We'll run down the bill and go through some bands and what they're doing. They're doing some spectacular work for the scene, and it's going to be nice to kind of have them back on the show. Before that, a little bit of business to take care of. Thank you. Thank you for coming to the Spoken Metal sessions that we had. I honestly didn't think that anybody would turn up. It's a wonderful venue, the Outpost, a natural home for the Spoken Metal show. And I'm trying to bring bands that you may not have heard of before that maybe are just very new. All the established bands and stuff like that, they have their places to play and their times to play. I wanted to bring, maybe highlight some of the bands you hadn't heard of before. Like I said, I wanted to be kind of like a Jules Holland for metal, if you will. You know, you stay for Metallica, but then you kind of get to see the flamenco guitar player or something. You get introduced to something new. That was the intention with the Spoken Metal shows, and it will be the intention going forward, is that you came to see what's new and what's interesting and what's cool in the scene at the moment. And you know, to open with 7 Days Dead was just a dream. They probably played the best set I think that I've ever seen them play. And it was so well received. People were like, who the fuck is this? This is amazing. These guys are amazing. And they made it onto people's radars, which is entirely the point of what I'm trying to do there. And then Mortala, you know, playing their new single, Call of the Void, which is absolutely superb and you should 100% check out. But they were playing stuff you couldn't hear anywhere else on that stage, which was the other goal of what I was trying to do with the show. And then to have Thrasher 2 headline was just perfect. Consummate professionals, a wonderful band and amazing to work with. Huge shout out to Rob. I'm going to get onto the show on the show again because he's just a wonderful human being, really hard working, really professional. And they busted their arse to get to do that show. It was absolutely everything, pulled all the stops out, inflatable donuts, the whole works. It was wonderful. And afterwards to feel a real wave of love coming to the Spoken Metal show and the Spoken Metal shows and the sessions and the bands was wonderful. And that's, you know, I mean, there was a ton of stuff I got wrong. You know, I've been in this business a long time and I never really promoted before. So there was a lot of lessons learned and, you know, stuff that I'll bring to the table when we do it again. And we will do it again. I'll do another Spoken Metal live and then I'll do another Spoken Metal sessions and they're all coming as well. But for that, the time being now, thank you for everybody that turned up, the bands, the crew, the Ian on sound, everybody that kind of made this show work. Thank you so much. It really meant a great deal to me. And also, I'd like to launch, as you've seen on some of my social media, my new merch for the Spoken Metal show. A lot of people asking where you can get t-shirts from. I hadn't done any because I didn't think anybody would care, but a lot of people do care. And it's time to bring out that merch. Working with Support the Scene, who do wonderful merch work. I produced a number of t-shirts thanks to Mark Smith for doing the art for them. There's a variety of them, but what the main and base shirt I'd like to say, which is £17, will have the There's No Scene in Liverpool on the back, but on the front it will have the logo and a small section underneath which is like a white bar where I will personally give you your number. I will number those shirts personally. So the only way that can happen is if you see me or come to a show, I will number that shirt and that'll be your number forever. It gets washed or whatever it comes out, you can put that number on again. I will put it on social media what your number is and that will be your number shirt forever. But the only way you can get that is if you see me on a show and I number that shirt individually for you. They're £17. The Support the Scene are doing a wonderful job there with merch. I'll put links as I always do. And I really like, check them out and tell me what you think. I'd like to see a lot of those shirts. You know, it's a double win for me. It's a shirt saying, talking about the show, but it's also telling people there is no scene in Liverpool, which is now moved into being ironic because thankfully there fucking is. And that show at the sessions was just a wonderful thing for to happen. There's a lot of stuff coming up now that I'm going to cover coming up in the next couple of weeks. There's a lot of stuff. Told you February is very, very busy and that this whole year is very, very busy. There's a lot of exciting stuff, so strap in because it's going to get really interesting. And it starts, ladies and gentlemen, with Pentryfest. Pentryfest is just around the corner and this is going to be me telling you to buy tickets to the show. No surprise there, but I'm actually going to go in, get a little bit deeper in with Fozzy and Beanie and talk about Pentryfest 2024. This is going to be a great event. So let's get straight to it. This is Fozzy and Beanie talking about Pentryfest 2024. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's so many wins on this episode. There's so many good things. I get to, A, talk to a friend. Get to, B, talk to a really good promoter. I get to, C, book a, you know, talk about a really good booked show. And then, D, I get to talk about metal again. So this is a win all round for me. Isn't podcasting meant to be really hard work? Like, you're meant to be, oh, fucking hell, I look good. I enjoy the shit out of this because I get to welcome back to the show. It's the Beanie. Welcome back, sir.
Good evening. How are we?
I'm all right, mate. I'm all the better for seeing you. We had a bit of a catch-up before we came on the pod, and I forgot, just like, he loves metal as much, if not more, than I do. And it's so fucking, it's so cool when you talk to someone who's who just fucking does it because they love it. Fucking, there's no money in this shit, ladies and gentlemen. So it's nice to talk to someone who enjoys it. And Beanie and the work that Foz and them are doing down the Welsh Way is unbelievable. I mean, there's fucking, there's so much to cover. I want to kind of put it around Pantry Fest, but you know, there is a whole bunch of stuff to cover. But how are you doing, mate, anyway?
Well, we're doing well, obviously. You know, we had a decent year last year. Some cracking bands. Pantry Fest was amazing. We started Pantry Fest style festival in Wrexham as well, New Metal Fest. Christ, we had Dystopian Sun winning our Metal to the Masses and go on to play Bloodstock, which again, was fantastic. You know, there was a Mosh Against Cancer show in Nottingham, which although I didn't have any direct involvement, you know, we were there in the background. We've had Tail Gunner play for us. King Kraken came back. Am I allowed to talk about the cunts? You know, we stuck them on. We've had some really good shows, and you know, a Merseyside band has emerged who've played a few shows for us, called Druid's Cross as well, and we're made really proud to have been involved in their development. So yeah, last year was a cracking year, and you know, it's a case of getting ready to build up for the next 12 months coming up.
It really was a great year. I was seeing some of the shows and I was like, fuck, there's so much work involved, ladies and gentlemen, behind the scenes. Everybody doesn't really see to get these shows off the ground. And it just seemed to be one great show after another with you guys. I was really happy to see it. For those that maybe don't know, and I get listeners from all over the world, but Beanie does what I do at Metal to the Masters, only way fucking bad. I robbed all of Beanie's set. I just do a really shit version of Beanie where we compare and we try and get people excited about music and excited about what's going on. But with him and Foz, you know, they're bookers, so they put on shows and they put the shows they think work and the bands that they like. And it's wonderful, like this Dystopian Sun, which it's just wonderful to see their journey. And it's so nice that you're part of that journey as well. You know, you've helped them put shows on and you can see them getting to the next level, because then you can see the progression of bands that you work with. You put them on, they play well, they get a good audience, you give them a platform, they go on to do other shows, and then all of a sudden they're playing Bloodstock, and then all of a sudden that, you know, and it's good to see that, because I don't think people realise that if it wasn't for the likes of Beanie and Foz, ladies and gentlemen, if they don't put that show on, that show doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. It doesn't become anything. It doesn't happen. It's a void. So, you know, I'm saying it off the pod, once again, thank you to you, Beanie, and to you, Fozzy, for even fucking putting these shows on. Even putting them on, because that's where we're going to get the bands on that are headliners for the future headliners. So, I mean,
Fozzy's just joined us now, so I'm going to shit him in here.
Foz is a real rock star. He drives late. He doesn't give a fuck. He's like, I'm fucking the funniest guy on here. I know. He's the best looking guy on this show right now. I'll tell you that for nothing. And he just swans in like he fucking owns the place. How are you doing, sir? You all right?
I'm all right. Not too bad. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm all the better for seeing you guys. These guys are fucking... I've been to these shows. I've worked with them. And it's just a pleasure. Because it's fun. Even when things go wrong and stuff's running late. And Fozzy's going, I was interviewing Beanie once. And we were just chatting bubbles forever. And Fozzy comes in and goes, you're the fucking compare, Beanie. Get out of here. He's all shit. And, oh, mate. I miss you guys so much. And like, you know, I think... A busman's holiday to Pantry Fest is long overdue. I need to, just because I enjoy the shit that you're doing and the shows you're putting on. So, I mean, let's get into that. Let's get into Pantry Fest. Let's talk about that. So, this year, the lineup is fucking ace. Is ace for two very big reasons for me, because it contains a lot of bands I know personally and whatever, which is great because I can see them play at other venues and doing bigger and better things. But also, it's got a lot of bands that I don't know. which is fucking equally exciting, because there's people like, where's the next bands coming from? Where's the new music coming from? Where are the next headliners coming from? And you guys have absolutely nailed this bill in terms of the acts and who you've got on. But it took a lot of work, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of them where we sit down and we're talking about it, and it's like we say, who do we want a headline? Who do we want this? Who do we want there?
There's many.
It literally ends up we're sitting around and it's like, who do you want? Can we get these? And it's like, oh, that's a good job. And this, that, and the other. And do you know what? We've been looking at, we got Chrysler to headline this year. And it's like, we've had Blaze Bailey, we had the Cunts. And do you know what? We thought, we've not had a band that's actually played the main stage of Bloodstock. Right. And it's like, you know, we need to take this off. It needs to be that sort of thing. And we've been in touch with Chrysler before, and it just never really panned out for us. And with quite a few of the bands on this year's bill. So we got in touch with them, and when they turned around and said, yeah, now's the time. Obviously, we were over the moon. And, you know, then I went to Beermageddon and caught up with them in the summer, and just had an absolute ball with them. So, you know, to see them doing their stuff there, they've played the big stages, and now they're bringing that show and energy to North Wales for the first time.
They played there. They were one of the guest headliners at Metal to the Masses Merseyside, and they are the epitome of the more aggressive and heavy the band, the nicer the guys are in the band.
Oh, yeah.
And they are so before the show, I've heard their stuff, obviously, but I haven't seen them live. So before the show, I'm chatting with them, and they're super nice. I mean, like, overtly nice. Like, these guys are fucking lovely, and they're nice to all the bands around them, and they've given loads of really great advice. And I thought, what the fuck? There's no way that can switch. Oh, yes, it can, by the way. Yeah. And they just fucking went. And I was like, Jesus Christ, they've left it all on the stage. They were there. What they do is they kind of, like, you know, they show the progression that we talked about. If you go along this road, that eventually you can play the main stages in Bloodstock. It's very doable. And they were talking to other bands about, you know, this is the roadmap. This is how you can do it. So they're a wonderful, you know, a wonderful signing for the headliners. We've got ahead of ourselves, gents. We've already blown our load and set the headliners straight away. You're meant to build up to this shit, you know. Right. We're meant to be professionals here.
The thing is, though, when we're planning the bill, that's where we start. We start at the headliners and see where we're going. So,
here's what I want to do, because it's such a, this, I've got so many questions and many things I want to know. The first one of which is, and we've gone high, so we have to go a little bit low here, because this is it's serious. Talk to me about the naming of the stages, because it's fucking important and it means something. Talk to me about the stages. So there's two stages, ladies and gentlemen, an indoor and outdoor one, and they're both named for various reasons. So just walk us through the two stages.
So I'll talk about the main stage, and I'll let you take over for the outdoor stage. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So cool. Basically, you know, after COVID and everything else, we're all excited about catching up with everybody and things like that. But COVID wasn't the only thing that was going on. You know, other diseases and sicknesses and illnesses still happened, and you know, unfortunately, we've lost a few people. So there was a band a few years ago. I would honestly have to confer with my poster to find out the actual year. But there's a band from Bangor, which featured members of Lullaby for Unicorn and Crank, called Mucus. Now, Mucus predates them all. They just hadn't been very busy because, you know, real life kicks in and things like that. And coming from Bangor way, apart from the one venue they've got there, there was very little, you know, chance for them to get out. But the band Mucus, and they came and played, and they opened, and everyone was like floored by him. People weren't expecting much because a lot of them hadn't heard of them and things like that. And they were brilliant, and I was like that, you know, jaws dropping. I was shouting at them because
Beattie's trying to already hog the stage. He's already doing and making it more interesting points than me. But now he's dead. Let's make sure we get Foz. Can I hear you, Foz? No, can't hear you. You'll have to get. No. You have to move microphones.
Oh, right. I'll finish what I'm saying, and I'll fuck him off. Right.
Fucking Conbears.
I'll move it over when it's time. So basically, I was telling them off, saying, look, you're this good. Why aren't you doing more shows? Blah, blah, blah. And then it turns out the main reason was Duncan, the guitar player, he was poorly. And he obviously got very poorly and unfortunately passed away last year, the dreaded cancer, you know. And so we just thought it was an apt thing for us to do. You know, he played our festival, he's played that stage, and, you know, in coming with other places where they do name stages after bands and things like that, it's our little homage to him. And I think it's a fitting one because he was a brilliant character. We loved having him. He did actually come to the last one, but he was quite poorly, so he didn't stick around too much. Obviously, we spoke to his widow, and she's over the moon with this. And it's just our little thing, you know, giving it back to the bands that have, you know, tried and, you know, put on some good shows for us and things like that. But I think this is just the one thing we can do and say, look, thank you. It's not just about Duncan, but it's about everybody. But because of what's happened, he's like the epitome of it. And so we've named it, it's the Duncan Black Stage. We're proud to have done that. And it is something, hopefully, that will go down quite well, obviously. His widow is happy. And the other guys from the band are going to come down and, you know, we'll hopefully just have a celebration and a few drinks towards him.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
So,
I will move stage. It. Yeah, go on.
I will move it round. So make sure you can hear Fossey, and then we'll see where that goes.
I just don't talk loud enough. That's what the problem is.
The fuck you don't. For anybody know Fozzy, they'll be like spitting out water and shit now. Fozzy is the face and the voice of the underground scene. And I said, before we get into this, I said this to Beanie before we came on the pod. Thank you both for doing this. Because if these shows don't go on, they don't happen at all. There's not a line of people putting on promoted shows. I know how fucking hard it is. On behalf of, I don't want to speak for the whole metal community, but I'm going to. Thank you for putting the work on for us. All right, mate. Laughing and joking aside.
Thank you,
sir. So please tell us about the other stage then as well.
So I'm going to take you back to 2016 at Bloodstock. We were stood in the queue at the festival. We'd been there all night because we like to get there early. And a couple walked over by the name of Mare and Chemo. Now, Mare and Chemo went to festivals all over the country. They are like the mother and father figure for quite a lot of people. When you go to a festival, Mare will be there. She'll have all the food out, stove on the go, making bacon sandwiches, hand them out to everyone. She would feed the whole of Bloodstock if she could. And obviously her husband, Chemo, he was like the grandfather to the younger ones, the dad to all the kind of our age. And in 2016, we met up with them at the festival. They walked in with us, and we all camped together. And since then, every year at Bloodstock, we've always met up. We've kind of become a Download family as well, that we all go to Download Festival together. Their daughter now actually dates one of my best mates. So it's become more of a family group. Everybody knows them. They go to Stone Dead Festival. And we had the sad news during lockdown that Chemo was unwell. He started with lung cancer. And bless him, over the time he was fighting, his attitude was, I want to get to as many shows as I possibly can. Still want to support the scene. Wanted to be out there and enjoying the bands. And he did that for 2-3 years, saw all of his friends. And then the last couple of years, it's just become a little bit harder. And sadly, he lost his battle back in October. So it's kind of, for us, it's nice to honour the efforts that he put in to go out and support so many bands. He was a massive fan of Evil Scarecrow. And I don't know whether you know the video that had the puppet in. Right. Evil Scarecrow actually donated it to Chemo, so that's one of the things that Mare's got as a lasting memory. Yeah. And they were just so involved in the scene as the two of them, and it's like losing a father figure. He was an awesome guy, and one of the things that he did do, and we will play it at the festival, before he passed away, he wrote himself a bucket list and he wanted to make sure that he recorded something himself. There's a band called Saw, Adam Robinson, who's one of the children, as Mayor and Kimo used to call them. Adam basically wrote a song called Bucket List, but it's Black Bucket List. So it's all the things that you possibly wouldn't do as a bucket list. And they actually got Kimo to record that before he passed away. So it's really nice that we can name the stage after him. It's a lasting tribute to a guy who was just, he was absolutely amazing. He had time for everyone and he made sure that he supported all the bands. And yeah, it's just great to have that lasting legacy.
I love that, you know, we always talk about family and stuff, and the reality of the modern family is that it's not always, you know, mums and dads and brothers and sisters. It's these people that are kind of big part of your life. And, you know, anybody that goes to festivals will have potentially a group of people that he meets only at that festival or only when they ever go to big festivals. And they don't really see each other other than that. They go to these festivals and there's this group that sprouts up. And it's just lovely to hear those stories, you know. And, you know, I often say, you know, metal is for all because it is. But also, you know, metal never dies because of this the exact reason that we respect the people around us, and when they are no longer there, we pay tribute to them in beautiful ways. And, you know, it's just a wonderful, you know, he's always going to be there. He's still there. It's 100% because he's part of it. And it's wonderful to have those stages named to people, you know, and these people, otherwise maybe no one would have ever known. We're having a conversation now about these two people because of this. That's wonderful. Do you know what I mean? That's wonderful. You know, and then to hear that song will be wonderful, you know, bittersweet. I'm sure we'll laugh and we'll be like, that, you know, I wish the guy was around to see that type of thing. But what a beautiful tribute. You know what I mean? It's amongst the metal crowd, ladies and gentlemen, the highest honor you can get is a stage named after you. It's one of the highest honors that you can get. It's the reason they have the Ronnie James Dio stage. It's why it exists. You know, these are named. It's like in football terms, that's when like the name stands after people. You have to do something to do that. You have to earn something. And it's not about money earning. It's not about that type of thing. It's actually being a good fucking person. So when you talk about the stage and they go, well, who is that person? You only can regale them with great stories about what a wonderful human being they are, you know, and that's what it's about. So, you know, fair play to you guys for doing that. I think it's fucking beautiful. And what a lasting and loving tribute, you know, and all the bands will have that moment of pause before they play where they're like, fucking, you know, nod to the governor, nod to those guys, yeah, and let's get on with it. Like, let's fucking be a great show. This is, you know, it's hard to kind of finish up with that because it's beautiful. You don't want to end necessarily the conversation with it, but it's beautiful to like just hang there and be like, you know, here's to those two guys, you know, metalheads who supported the scene and loved their family, their extended family as well. Beautiful, beautiful. I suppose, you know, what we should do, because I certainly know that, you know, the people we honour would want us to fucking get on, you know, would be okay, let's have a fucking good show, you know, let's get this done, all the bands need to be good, people need to show up and support it, and let's keep it running, do you know what I mean? That's what everybody wants, surely. So with that in mind, I want to move sort of through the whole bill. That's what I want to do, because I have a ton of questions, and I want to talk about, you know, these bands that you put on. So let's go into Friday. So yeah, I want to kind of go through the bill. Basically, I think it's really good, but there's some questions and there's some things I want to talk about. So the Friday is that opens with Ed Case, yeah.
So Ed Case is our acoustic actor who can play pretty much anything. Calls himself the Bastard Whisperer. And generally he's been the host since we started back in 2017 of the outdoor stage. You'll notice a change in the outdoor stage because it's kind of grown over the few years that we've gone through. Beanie keeps telling me to stop booking bands, especially the acoustic stage, but we've got a couple of bands this year, so it's changed up a little bit. But Ed Case is kind of the stalwart of the stage, that he will be there every year, he'll play something different. He's got some of his own originals, but generally he'll throw in a random cover that you're not expecting. And he always comes up trumps. So we kind of let him do the hosting on the stage, announce most of the acts. Ian will step up every now and then and give him a break, but Ed's normally the one that's there that kind of takes over and makes it his own.
Yeah, he's a real character in all the best of ways. You know what I mean? It's really kind of wonderful kind of figurehead for what you're doing. But then the opening band, if you will, so to speak, is Defining Silence, who I haven't heard of. And I love saying that. It's my favourite thing, because now I have to go and search for this band and figure this out and follow all their stuff. So I know. Talk to me about Defining Silence.
So Defining Silence are a band that have got members that have been around in the scene for probably about 10 years or so. There used to be a band from Deeside called Dead Is Forever. The guitarist, Jamie, has started Defining Silence. And there's a young girl called Jay, who's their singer. She's got really, really strong female vocal. She's got quite a wail on her when she gets going. She started off as an acoustic artist back in about 2009, doing shows for me before we sort of stepped into doing bigger metal shows. And so she's the singer, and then the rest of the guys are all from a local band that were called Entity. So it's kind of progression from Entity into Defining Silence. And it's just nice to give a band that are just starting out an opportunity to step onto the stage, be the first one on there, let people hear their music, and kind of open the show to say, look, this is what we've got in our area. And they're a really nice kind of rock style band. They're not so heavy. Yeah. So it's quite a light start into the evening. But I think they'll go down really well.
Is this one of their first shows?
They've probably only done about five or six shows.
Yeah, it's very new, and a very new band.
It's very new. So
That's ace that you're doing that. There's a band that, like you say, you're given the opportunity. Here's what it's like: you're gonna, in the front of a welcoming audience, you're essentially opening, and you really get to like that just sort of bodes so well for the scene, doesn't it? You know what I mean? It's so healthy that's going on. So then the next band. I don't need to be told about here, because I've talked to them enough about them on the show. Omega Throne, what a fucking what a great band! What a great, if you're listening, and I know you do, Omega Throne. I've told them before that I love them. They know I love them to bits, but that's a great band to have on at that slot as well. That's a great time. So Omega Throne, you must have. I know, have you had them on before? I can't remember. I've seen one before.
They've played plenty of shows for us. They were basic. They've been to two of our Metal of the Masses finals. And do you know what? When you sit there and you look at a band and you listen to her and you think, Christ, how are these playing shows for us? You know, and these are one of them. You know, now obviously, again, most of the members have been in other bands in the past, so they've learned the trade and they've honed the material and stuff like that. But they've got something about them. Not just are they ferociously heavy when they need to be. There's a lot of subtleties about them as well, and there's also a gentleness about them. You know, it's like a great big oxymoron when you listen to them, and you watch them live as well. So captivating live, I bought all this stuff as soon as I had the chance to, and they really put a full package out. You know, I think a lot of bands, they don't go the extra mile when it comes with the product, and these guys, they, I don't know if you've seen the box set they did last year, with the T-shirts, and it came in like a pizza box or something, you know, and stuff like that. You know, it's these little things that go the extra mile with them, and the whole package there. And to me, this is just a band that's just waiting. Once these guys get the break, you know, you're not going to see them for dust, you know. And I really do believe that, not just because, you know, they've played shows for us and we're putting them on again and we love them and stuff like that. But sometimes you just get it with a band, and I just feel these are just a band just waiting for that one thing, and boom, they're going to go.
100%. They are. We will not, ladies and gentlemen, this will be one of those few times now where you're going to be able to see Omega Throne in this setting. They are next. They are one of those bands we will just not have for long before they will take them from us and go and do something amazing. Like Beanie says, that they're finished. They're the complete article. There's nothing really you need to add. There's just more people need to see them. The end. You know, they're absolutely superb. That's a great sort of, you know, think about, we just had like, you know, Define and Silence, then you have an Omega Throne. Totally different way of doing things. It's like already it's an interesting bill, but it gets a whole lot more interesting because he was on the last show. I love Michael to bits, the Mad Spanner himself. You know what I mean? Who fucking knows? Do you know what you've booked? You know you've worked with him before, but what the fuck? He's mad by name and mad by nature indeed. Like, again, he's a wild one.
He's another one, and you know, he's obviously, he's had some problems with the band, and he's gone from a three-piece to doing it all himself now.
Yeah.
And the guy, he's just got ridiculous energy. I don't know where it comes from. And I just, I whether he's playing or not, I just love having him at shows because he's always there. He's at the front, blah, 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 etc. And, you know, and he just doesn't stop. From the moment he gets there, he keeps going, he keeps going, he keeps going. Now, if you can, if you can package what he's got, you know, and sell it, you know, you, you know, you're making more money than, you know, bloody Zuckerberg, you know. But I mean, he, obviously he's got his new album out and stuff like that. And
yes,
it's he's, again, he's played plenty of shows for us. He played the New Metal Fest as well, and he's coming back and he's doing the whole new album really from start to finish.
Yeah,
he's actually doing a full piano arrangement of all of his songs off the new album.
Of so course he is.
It's going to be,
because of course he is.
It's going to be interesting. I think we're all going to love it.
For those that don't know, if you sit there thinking, well, I don't know about going Friday, would you fucking crazy if you don't? But if you're like, oh, I don't know what's going on with this, trust me, it is. You will be entertained. You love, hate, whatever you feel, you will be entertained by this gentleman. You will not be, even if you think it's awful, you still, it will be awfully amazing. In the same way that if you think it's brilliant, it will be brilliantly awful. It's everything. It's just, it's, you are, it's for that like half an hour, 45 minutes, you are in the spell of the Mad Spanner. When he kind of did Metal to the Masses, he was like a one-man mosh pit. He just turned up and it was a party all of himself. It was just, you know, that's it. We're only halfway, what is that, about 7 o'clock? Yeah, so 8:45, I think he plays. And already you've got like fucking madness. It's like madness. So then we get Bloodmoors. Now everybody knows Bloodmoors. I think I mentioned to get them on the show soon. But what an act they are. We talk about next band and a finished article. Jesus Christ, you know, Bloodmoors are just, you know, they're fantastic. And I've yet to see them live.
Well, with them now, I know he wasn't there at the inception because there's two members. Or two ex-members of Ward 16, set, got them up and things like that. But the bassist is Rick, who is also in Malediction now as well. You know, name dropping. He played a show for us when we did the Mosh Against Cancer. Austerium is the name I call the band. He told me I was pronouncing it wrong. I told him, you know what, I call your band Corner. You know, so, but... This guy, you know, he's a monster when it comes to a bassist. But I didn't even know he was in Bloodmoors, and they came and played for us last year. And I saw it, but I saw him, you know, as they're coming up and setting up. And then I'm like, bloody hell, you know. And we had a good catch up. And then I watched the band, and I just thought, this is it. It's right up my street. Perfect band for me. First thing I did. You know, after hearing the first song, I went and bought myself a T-shirt. You know, so these guys are great. And then they played, they won the Metal to the Masses in Stoke, I think it was.
Right, yeah.
And then they played Bloodstock, the new Blood stage. And it was great because, you know, obviously we do a lot of, you know, dragging people over to the bands we knew. I mean, obviously Devil's Henchmen and our own band, like Dystopian Sun and stuff like that. But obviously... with Bloodmoors as well, so we're dragging people over, and the fact that everyone that we dragged over stuck around and they all loved them, and a few people actually were paying Bloodstock prices for the T-shirts as well, and so it was brilliant, and you know, really, really nice people as well. So good to have them back, because when they did play a show for us at McLean's, it wasn't the best attended show, so it was a case of, right, we're getting you back, and we're going to give you a good show, and it's going to be amazing. And I'm really, really looking forward to him already.
See, that's like, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I've seen what Beanie's talking about in real time. I've seen him watch a band, be blown away by the band, walk out in all in line of sight, walk over to the merch table and buy a shirt. Groundbreaking, I know, amazing to think that that's how this shit works, but that's how this shit works. Beanie's a fan. If Oz is a fan, they're booking as fans. It's the best job in the world. And I've seen that happen, and I've seen them be at festivals and pull people by over, not just from bands from their area, bands that they think need attention. You know, it's that type of champion, you know, that we need more of. So then we get to the headlining of the Friday, and it's already like, that's such a good bill. It's so metered and so well put together. You get I Saw the World Burn, you know, and I had, is Don still playing bass for them?
He's not.
All right, because I had Don a long time ago, because Don's a Todd. Talk about Todd. But it made me, because I was like, I had him on as a photographer, I got into the band as well and started checking out their stuff. They're fucking brilliant. They're just a really good band.
Well, they still are. They haven't played much recently. So, you know, it's actually a coup for us to get him. Now, for last year, we decided we were going to try something new, which was to bring back a band to headline a Friday night. So we brought back Ward 16, and it went ridiculously well. So, you know, we brought back this year. We thought, right, I Saw the World Burn if we can get them. Do you want to talk about them a bit?
Yeah, so I Saw the World Burn is an interesting one for us, because I think before we started promoting metal to the masses in North Wales, they'd already won it. It was with the previous promoter. And they played the New Blood stage. They seemed to be going in the right direction to have lots of attention. They played lots of big gigs, and then they've gone a bit quiet. I think it's probably since Dom left, to be honest. Yeah. But every time they come back, I mean, her vocal is just immense.
She's one of the best front people around. The end, she just is.
And the energy that they bring to the stage, and I think it's, to have them come back after, I think it's since 2018 we had them at Penchfest, to bring them back with that gap to put them back on in 2024 is just going to be immense, to see the progress that they've made, to be honest. And them stepping up to be headliners is absolutely fantastic. The energy that they bring is just going to be insane.
I think, because I don't know what to expect. I know it's going to be great. I know it's going to be high quality. I just don't know what to expect. That's exciting. That's an exciting thing. And it's lovely that you give bands chance to kind of come back again, you know, because it's, you know, this is real life, ladies and gentlemen. You know, things happen and you have to stop band things, and it happens. And, you know, sometimes you have to take a hiatus, a year here, a year there, or whatever it may be, before you come back. And, you know, what Beanie and Fozzie are doing is giving bands opportunity, you know, to do that. Let's be completely honest here. Sometimes it requires giving bands a little bit of a chance, you know, taking a risk, if you will. You know, me and you know this band will be amazing, but it's a risk, it's a challenge. It's still something, you know, you don't know how to go down, but you've got enough faith in the artist and you're going to give them absolutely everything you can give them, a good stage, good crowd, treat them well, to perform to the best of their abilities. I love that. This is only, ladies and gentlemen, this is only Friday. And look at what they've laid before you, Friday. If this was it, right, if this was Pantry Fest now and that was it, I'd still be saying it's a fucking boss festival. That's, if it was just this day, I'd be like, that's fine. I'm good with all those bands. But ladies and gentlemen, it's fucking not. They've only just started. Just when you thought you'd had enough metal, is that even possible? We get to the fucking real main event, which is Saturday. And for some fucking reason, the crazy bastards have put even more acts on Saturday. So let's go through Saturday. It starts at like up at 1:30. And then if I'm reading one of my notes right, we've got, what's Damn G? What's that?
Damage.
So Damage. Oh, okay. Damage. Am I pronouncing it wrong? Okay.
Yeah, Damn G, but it's pronounced Damage.
It's pronounced Damage. Okay.
You'll probably recognise the lead singer from these guys because he's recently joined. Okay. Rob Sutton from Thrasher Tui is now their lead singer.
My good friend Rob turns up again.
he's one of the singers. So
okay.
Damn G came to us middle of last year and did an all-dayer. And they had an American singer. And it was always difficult for him because she was back in Tooth to America. And she was in the UK. So they've kind of progressed from that and changed her as a singer and then Rob as well.
So they're going to be an interesting one to open up, I think, because I think Rob's going to bring a lot of energy to it, because he's very excited to kind of show everyone what he can do.
Yeah, what he's been working
to it, because obviously comedy band to serious band, it's always a bit of a change. And I think Rob's been in a few bands before that have been serious, but I think Thrasher 2 is kind of thrown him into the limelight. It'll be interesting to see how he gets on in a serious band.
Oh, I love hearing about bands like that. I'm intrigued now. You're calling me interested. You know, I'm like, what the fuck is it? And I love hearing that. It's like when you're at a festival, you don't know particular acts. They're the ones I gravitate to, because I've seen that many bands. I like to be surprised, like, you know. So then we've got, what's Mrs. Gizlo?
So later in the day on the Saturday, on the chemo stage, we've got our headliner that is Suto, something out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
So Mrs. Gizlo is Suto's drummer.
Okay. Now,
Holly she's an amazing drummer, but when she's in Suto, you kind of look at it and think, well, is she just a drummer?
Hmm.
But what Holly does, and it's going to be an interesting one because it's a step outside metal. Holly does, she's got saxophone, she uses the backing tracks that she's created herself. She plays bass, drums, guitar, and saxophone. She creates her own backing tracks. And it's a little bit different, but it's kind of a showcase of the talents within that band, if you like, because they've been away for 10 years and they came back. I booked them for my birthday party, my 40th last year, got them all back together, and then said, that went really well. Do you want another gig? And it's the same thing with Shannon O'Grady that you're probably going to talk about later.
Yeah.
She's the lead singer of Suto, and she's also another one that's, it's kind of showcasing what they do outside of the band, because they're doing that presently, but Suto's become a back thing for them.
Mm.
And now they're kind of coming back with Suto to do more shows. So it's quite nice to just showcase what they do at present time, because Suto's kind of a thing that I think they're probably going to leave as a back burner that's going to come out every 6 months or so. They'll do something with Suto, but it's not going to be that they're going to be touring or anything like that. So it's interesting to show what they do now.
Yeah, I think isn't that the whole point of like all days and festivals, where you do step out your comfort zone, you do step and do something slightly out the ordinary, because we can't just have, you know, 12 metal bands, because there's a fatigue to it. Like, you know, it needs to have something a little bit interesting. It happens in a lot of European festivals, and it's coming over to the UK with festivals as well, where they do throw in some nice and interesting stuff. But okay, this is different, let's have a look at this, and there's no risk and there's no worry. It just gives you another shade, another thing to look at. So it's nice that you do that, and it kind of, it, like you say, it just exemplifies that the bands are sometimes more than what they're doing. There's other things going on. These are people with different interests going in different directions. So it's wonderful to have that. And I suppose, you know, we'll skip just to Shannon O'Grady. It's like, it's nice to have that. Like, when are you going to see that otherwise? When are you going to see those two things separately? You probably never are. So it's a wonderful chance to, like, risk-free, ladies and gentlemen, to watch these artists, because that's what they are. They're artists performing for you. And so in between that, you've got In With Chip Burns. Again, see, I'm meant to be this fucking bastion of metal, and you guys are showing me up here, booking all these fucking fabulous bands that I've not heard of, and now I have to prove that I have heard these bands and I'm cool again. So you've got In With Chip Burns. To talk to me about them.
So In With Chip Burns, they're a South Wales band. And, you know, I call them proper Wales. Pembrokeshire, I'm reliably informed. And they've come up a few times, and they've played a few shows for us here and there, but it's a long way for them to come. And so, again, they're another band that says, right, we want to get you on, you know, the best show where we can stick it in front of as many people as possible. And, you know, they have played a few other shows. They've played with some other good bands as well up here. But the only thing I'll say to you about these guys is check them out. In Which It Burns. Who was it they supported for us earlier on? Last year. We give them a high-profile support, didn't we? But anyway, it doesn't matter. They played a good show for us in Wrexham. I might have been supporting. Did they play the Ryan McComb show? Yeah.
So Ryan McCune from Soil.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they opened for him. And again, I mean, that was an acoustic show, but in which it burns were an acoustic. They blew the roof off the place again.
Yeah.
So I mean, they played a lot of venues for us. They played here before. And do you know what? I'm just going to say around and say to you, just go and check them out. So anyone watching now, you know, we're going to get a bit repetitive because we're going to tell you all these bands, this band, that, and they're all lovely people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you know what? At the end of the day, in Richard Burns, South Wales, heavy metal, no bullshit, no nothing. Just listen to them. They're amazing.
Spoilers to the listeners. We're going to tell you every band's amazing and you should go to this festival. Dude, what a surprise. sorry to spoil the ending of this whole fucking thing, but they're all fucking great. Because here's the thing. Yeah, like, look, this is a group of promoters and they take a chance with a band. They give a band a slot for a bigger band. That band does really, really well. They perform really well. They're nice to work with. So they get asked back to play higher up on the bill. They play higher up on the bill. They do great again. They support the scene and they kind of bring the fans in. They work and they're nice to work with as promoters. And then they move even further up the bill. And then they give them a chance and they headline. And then they learn to headline, become great headliners and move on to even bigger and better things. Is there anybody need anything written down here? Does Zoo need to get a whiteboard out and explain how this shit works? That's how it works. You know, that's the whole point. It's cyclical. If you're good to a promoter, they're good to you. And it works round and round and round. And everybody wins from it. You know, like, so I'm not going to keep saying, you know, oh, the next band are amazing. You've got to check them out. So I'm not going to keep saying that. So the next band are amazing. And you've got to check them out. This is fucking Ogun. My good friends. I had all of Ogun on the show.
Are they
kind of Northwest thrash royalty? I think they probably are.
They should have been. They should be, shouldn't they? I mean,
yeah,
there's a few thrash bands on the bill, and every single one of them we've been trying to get for a long time. Now, obviously, Ogun haven't been back for a while, but as soon as they got back, we're like, yeah, come on, come and play. And do you know what? It's just for me, it's so amazing to have them back because they should never have been allowed to split up in the first place. You know, we should have done better as punters. I wasn't a promoter back then, but as punters, we should have done better. We should have spent a lot more money on them and kept them going. And you know what? You see the thrash scene now. All the thrash fans are still spending their money on tired old Metallica, and it's boring. Metallica are dull. I'm sorry if I'm polarizing anyone, but if you've tried to listen to that last Metallica album and stayed awake through it, well done. But you want to listen to thrash, right? Listen to Ogun.
Yeah.
And another band that we're going to talk about later, because I think there's so many good thrash bands in the northwest of England. And, you know, two of them are going to be playing this festival at least. But just to me, just having a band like them back, it warms the cockles. Shall we say?
Yeah, well, it's a second chance to for them where we go like, look, we fucked it up last time, ladies and gentlemen. We didn't go to enough shows, we didn't support them enough, and we nearly lost them. We nearly didn't have Ogun. But what's worse than that is if we don't support them now, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't go to see them now, don't be one of those motherfuckers where Ogun aren't around anymore. Going, oh, I wish they were around anymore. Now's your chance. Go and go to the show. These are they may be at the peak of their powers.
Not just this show as well, because they've got a show in Liverpool and they've got a show in Birkenhead. So, you know, plenty of times to go and see him in the next couple of months.
Their new album, I've been privileged enough to hear some bits from it. Their new album's going to fucking knock someone's head off. Like, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous how good they are. They're real thrash. All the stuff we loved about thrash, they encompass it. Like, and Andy, the cheeky bastard, will probably do some songs there that we haven't heard. You know, that's going to be. In fact, I know he will because he loves that shit. He'll put it up on his the list of the set list, and he'll put something special in for your show. I guarantee it. So then, talk to me about Tom Hathaway.
Tom is an acoustic guy that I came across.
He's
about 14 years old. He's only just turned 18 quite recently, and he's been on the open mic circuit, and he's always been there turning up singing things like Oasis and all that sort of stuff, wearing metal t-shirts.
So I had a chat with him and said, you fancy putting a heavier set together and coming to do Pentrefest? Because we know you can play, we know you can sing. He's talking about setting up his own metal band. So he's going to come down and he's going to do a heavy set for us. And yeah, I think he's going to go down really well.
Yeah.
Backing voice, and he plays the guitar really well. It's just going to be a fun set of covers, I think. Just really nice to see him step up and become part of the metal scene, if you like. He'll meet a lot of people that can benefit him quite a lot to come down and just be on the chemo stage and just enjoy himself.
Yeah, he's, ladies and gentlemen, this happens with metalheads all the time. We see someone else wearing a metal t-shirt. They might not be doing metal things, but we see them with a metal t-shirt and be like, hold on. We know there's more here. And we approach them. It'll be, you might be at work and someone else has got a metal t-shirt on, or you're fucking bowling or whatever it may be. But you see them and you're like, oh shit, there's more here. These are metalhead. He's one of us. He's one of us and needs to be welcomed as such.
Last year, he played Commons Key Festival wearing a Black Sabbath t-shirt, singing Ed Sheeran.
See, that's how we do it. That's how we do it, ladies and gentlemen. We kind of surreptitiously infiltrate these things. You know, we've already got Ed Sheeran doing stuff with Cradle of Filth. We're already inside you. We're already there now. We're over here, infected you. Do you know what I mean? We give you ripped jeans. We give you that. We give you a guy liner, and we give you all that. Mel gives you all that. And so now we've infected you. It's always there. So yeah, that's gonna be fucking boss. That is, what a situation, ladies and gentlemen. Where you've got two promoters who were giving someone a chance, putting mid card, low, mid top, and mid card, giving this guy a chance, got an acoustic guitar. Let's fucking go. Let's hear what you can do. And I guarantee, and I know the crowd will give him that chance as well. And if he's good, because you have to be good, Tom. You know, if you're listening, you're gonna have to be good. If you're good, they'll love you. You know what I mean? It's as simple as that. Metal fans are the same the world over. They'll give you two or three songs, and if you're good, you've got them for the rest of your life. If they're bad, they'll fucking throw the pig's blood at you and stuff, and bottles full of urine. But yeah. So then we get to Dystopian Sun, and you know, one of the real, that for me, that's a real highlight there, because they're one of those bands on the ascension, aren't they? They're really on fire. Yeah. You know, we talk about these bands. Going, well, Fozzy, these are on fire.
This is Fozzy's department. This is Fozzy said something to me after this set, which I'm not going to repeat at Bloodstock, but I'll just pass it over to Fozzy. They're a band that turned up to Metal to the Masses, and they caught me by surprise because. North Wales, we tend to think we know all the bands because there's not many. And we got this application from Jack saying, we want to do Metal to the Masses. What do you think? We'll send some music over. We'll see how we get on. And now you've got bands like Megathrone that were going up against them, Bad Earth that have been around for years. It was just one of those competitions that we sort of looked at and thought, we've got in our head, we know who's been around for a while. We know who's going to probably come through it to play Bloodstock 2023 from North Wales.
Yeah.
Then Dystopian Sun turned up. Now, Beanie's not a metalcore guy. He's not into his deathcore. He kept saying to me, I don't know, you know, they're a good band, but I don't think they're that good. When we got to the final, we had four bands in that final, and literally the whole room got up. Whether they were supporting a Megathrone, whether they were supporting Last Judgment, any other bands that played that show, when Dystopian Sun stepped on the stage, the whole crowd went up an entire level. And it was just an amazing atmosphere for the half hour of their set. And for them to then go and play Bloodstock and step onto the New Blood stage and get the reaction that they did, I think it was really good. They had the I wouldn't say a full tent, but they had a good-sized audience.
A really good reaction, for their set.
Everything that they're doing, they are just professional guys. They've got in their head the way they want to run that band. I get messages off them every couple of weeks saying, should we do this? Should we do that? You don't get it from any other band. They're asking questions. They're trying to progress. And I just think they're one of the bands that, if they keep on it in the way that they are, they've been recording their album at the moment. They've released some tracks off it. It was an EP back in January that they released. And I think, yeah, if they just keep pushing, they're going to be one of the bands that will move up onto the Sophie stage and then find themselves, hopefully, on the new main Ronnie James Dio stage in a couple of years' time. Because I think they're just ready to go out there and tour now.
Yeah, I think that, like, let's be honest, let's be truthful. No one's listening. No one's listening. When you do Metal to the Masses, you think you have an idea of who's going to win. That's the truth. You have a pretty good idea of what you think's going to win. What you hope for, and this is any promoter who does Metal to the Masses, you hope for that band to come out that's like, that completely blows you away. Because that's what you want, because everybody's operating the same level. And so Dystopian Sun weren't on many people's favourite lists. And I fucking love that. Because what it shows is it shows, and I'm probably going to alienate some of our listeners from other countries. It's like the FA Cup. It's like a band or a footballing side, in this case, can play against a big side and take them down. Because why? Because they're just, on that particular night or that day, they're just better. And it's like the same as with Dystopian Sun. So it's like on any given night on a Metal to the Masters, if you're good enough and you win the crowd, you go through to the next round or you win the whole thing. And they simply had the I'm going to let some industry secrets here now out, is that when you play Metal to the Masters, if you're really fucking good, you go through. That's all you need to be really fucking good. So there you go. So that, as you try and work on that as a band. And they are, you know, I've yet to see them live. I've seen a ton of stuff of them remotely, so to speak, and I've heard a couple of the songs. I know you can tell when a band's working, when they're going, you know, well, we mean this, and we know, like you said, Buzz, exactly right. They know what they are. They know what they want to be. They've completely got that idea of it, and that's incredibly powerful. That may be, certainly on that day, may be the best set of the weekend, that. That may very well be. And I'll tell you why. Something they will never tell you, but I'll tell you why. Is because they will want to pay that back to you. Because you did take, you take a chance with every band you put on. And they'll be like, these guys were one of the first people that put us on and the first people that kind of backed us. They'll be playing for you as much as themselves for that show. I'm telling you now, that's how that will work. And that's how it fucking should work, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, I'll say at the Metal to the Masses final, obviously, you know, I introduce the bands and I take them off and stuff like that. Now, this is the first time it's ever happened, whereas I'm trying to get the band off the stage and you couldn't hear me because the crowd were chanting the name. And it's like normally, you know, it's like, you know, let's hear it for them, blah, blah, blah.
Didn't have no problem required.
And it was a good 5 minutes before I could get the crowd. It's totally alien to me. Calm down a bit so we can get them off and get the next band on, because they weren't the last band on. Obviously, the band that went on after them were on a hide into nothing, really. But, you know, it's just one
game.
Of those things.
That's what it's meant to be. Yeah, it's meant to be. Like, there's when you're a compere, ladies and gentlemen, you're either, if you're really, really good or you're really, really bad, you do nothing. So if you're really, really bad, yeah, then you're lazy. You know, no one wants to engage with you. You're not engaged the crowd. You haven't woke up the audience. You haven't woke up the room. And you're shit. That's a shit compere. Beanie is not that. If you're really good compere, yeah, you do the same thing. You do fuck all, because you don't have to get the cloud clapping. You don't have to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, Dystopian Sun, for that round of applause, they're already fucking clapping because they've done the job. It's the easiest job in the world when bands are amazing. Because you just go, ladies and gentlemen, you just stand by the applause as they fucking go crazy and get that fucking band off and the next one on. It's the easiest gig in the world when it's amazing. So, yeah, I totally know what you mean. Like, I've had that before where I've been like, no one needs me. No one needs some guy to come on and tell them who they are. They fucking know, because half the crowd, maybe all of the crowd, have just been Googling who they are and added them to their Spotify fucking playlist. That's how it's fucking worked. But, yeah, I think that could well be, you know, probably one of the sets of the weekend. That it really could, for a number of reasons, and I love hearing those stories behind how we got to this stage now as well. So then going through, tell me about Rule of Six. What's that?
Right, so Rule of Six, my fault probably. Basically, I'm a bit of a folk metal fan, and a lot of people know that.
You know, Don't Hide That Love, Skyclad, and this, that. And, you know, one of my favourite bands, not just of that genre, is a band called Waylander. You know, Irish band. Now, obviously, over the years, seeing them play various shows, this, that, and the other, you know, I became friends with a couple of them.
You fanboyed them.
I fanboyed them, basically, yeah. So, yeah, so I've become friends with a couple of them and stuff like that. And Dave, who plays... he does the whistles, he plays the weird guitars and stuff like that. And he comes up to me one day, he says, "There's a CD, my other band, and it's Rule of Six." And so it's different to Waylander, but it's very good. Now, we put them on before. They played Pentrefest a few years ago. And obviously, what unfortunately will go down as one of our big mistakes was we did a Waylander show with them as well, which didn't actually work out as we would have. We too many clashes, other things, and it was just one of them nights where everything goes wrong that could.
Yeah.
But so we've had Rule of Six back again. And also Dave is in the band Thanes and Thralls as well. So obviously now he's become folk metal royalty as far as I'm concerned. So yeah, he's bringing his band Rule of Six. Called Rule of Six because there's six of them, quite simply. Three guitarists, so there's a bit of Iron Maiden about them as well. He does the vocals on this. There's no whistles or no flutes or anything like that. It's just straight ahead. If you're a Maiden fan, you'll like this, you know, basically. You've got six brilliant musicians on the stage. And I'm sure, again, if you can go and look out for some of the songs, you'll love them. I remember... having that, I think they played a show with Line of Fire, and at the time, Line of Fire had Paddy O'Malley in them from Lawnmower Death, and I remember him standing at the back watching him, and obviously he's a massive Maiden fan as well, like, you know, and he said to me, he goes, "Bean, these are amazing." He says, "These are amazing," and again, I think you know, when you're getting people like him watching you and sprouting out how good you are, unfortunately, because they're Irish. It's a bit difficult to get them over, and obviously it's a bit pricey as well. So when they come over, we want to make sure it counts, and this will count. If, again, they're another band. If you've not seen them, you've not heard anything, get online, go and find out. Obviously, and check out the other bands as well. I mean, Thanes and Thralls played for us a few weeks ago. And
I'm just going to say, it's quite funny. If you Google Rule of Six, it has nothing to do with COVID. You need to Google Rule of Six band.
Right, okay, yeah, do that then. Yeah.
How often, what's amazing about that is how often are you going to see that band? You know, you brought them over, like you said, it's not easy. You brought them over and you're going to get to see this stuff you haven't seen before. People always say there's not enough new stuff in metal. There's not more interest. It's the same bands. It fucking isn't. You got this wonderful act coming from over from Ireland. You otherwise would never see. You would never see these people, and you're going to get to see them now. And even if you don't like it, you're still getting the opportunity to see it and decide for yourself. You know what I mean? That's wonderful. You know, no bells or whistles, folk metal. I'm in. I'm in. Three guitarists. I'm in. I'm in. So tell me about Tobias Smith then.
That's you again, isn't it? Go on. So,
Tobias Smith is another one I found on the open mic circuit, who again was playing things that were kind of indie, but he's wearing a metal t-shirt. And we kind of went, "Hang on a minute, mate. You need to like step up, get on a metal stage and play some metal tracks. Learn a set that's a little bit heavier." So he's another one that we're giving a chance to let him step up and see what he can do. So it should be another one that's quite nice to watch.
I love the Fozzies going out Lord of the Rings styly and pulling all these people and go, "You really are metal. You've gone over there, but you're really metal. You're really bothers." And getting this little army together of, like, you know, people that should really come back home to what you really do. We know you're a metalhead. Come on, come back home. I love that that's going on. So then, I've heard of this band. I've heard a little bit about them, but I still want to hear a little bit more. Broken Jaw.
This is your cup of tea, isn't it?
You know, Broken Jaw, one that kind of they bypassed me a little bit for a while. But we had a couple of messages off them saying, "Can we come and play?" And I didn't know enough about him. And then it's actually Northwich, Rob Sutton, JTL Promotions put him on. And he said, honestly, mate, he said they absolutely exploded onto the stage. And they're a bit more punk in their style. So it's punk metal. But we've been told that that is the half hour that if you want to bring the energy and get involved in watching some guys run around in the audience and just generally cause chaos, I'm fully expecting one of them to be standing on the speaker stack at some point. Yeah. These guys are the ones that are going to... They've probably got as much energy as Mad Spanner on Friday night. There's four of them, I think. It's going to be an interesting one.
I love that Lemmy told us the punk's welcome in metal. You know, Lemmy told us that. And it's like, we often, you know, bring punk in to change things up a bit. I love that's the case. It's like, it's just as welcome, but it's like, we want to do two-stepping and all the rest of it. We want to do that as well. Okay, yeah, you're welcome. Come on, we can do that as well. Under the umbrella of metal, we're fine. You only mosh pit for so long before you go do something else. Let's do that. That sounds fucking... That's
well, actually we mosh pit for so long because we're old.
So, talk to me about Skin Flick.
Skin Flick. These are a proper wild card. So, okay. Obviously, I don't know if he's Noel Frank, who's like the third member of our party. You know, I live in his house. Now he's the guy that's put these forward. Now you will recognise the singer. It's a one man band, isn't he? I don't know if he's bringing anyone else with him. But you'll recognise him because he was. The front man of Lullaby for a Unicorn.
Right.
Now, this stuff is completely different. So we're coming now from the punk side of things right over to more industrial stuff now. Okay. So, I mean, this guy, I mean, it's out there. It's different. And I think it's going to split the audience in two, to be honest. But...
Got a problem.
I'm quite comfortable doing that. And I think it's healthy for us to do this sort of thing. And obviously he'll know what to expect because he's played our shows before, with Lullaby. I'm quite looking forward to seeing him and not have to clear up his mess afterwards. so there is that. But we can't just have the same thing all the time. And you know, we tried it very similar with the band called Leatherback a few years ago. Again, another brilliant one-man band who does a lot of industrial stuff. And industrial's got a massive, massive place in metal, you know. And it's unfortunately, it's not done very well at the moment anywhere else. So it is the local scenes and these guys that are doing it themselves where you're going to find it done properly. You want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I think it's going to be quite a lot of low end, it's kind of industrial electronica. I think is probably the way to describe it. But it's definitely Justin's bag because I think in Lullaby for a Unicorn he was there and he was enjoying the music, but it wasn't kind of him. But now he sort of feels like having the opportunity to play his Skin Flick stuff live because he's always done it in his bedroom. Yeah. It's always been bedroom stuff and he hasn't done many sort of gigs outside, if you like. So it's kind of, it'll be fun to see him on a big stage and see how he goes down. But like Beanie says with Leatherback, it turned a few heads when Leatherback played. People weren't expecting to enjoy it and then they kind of went, he's amazing for what he does. So Skin Flick is going to be another one. It's going to be ace.
Yeah, good bills and good booking, ladies and gentlemen, is like Beanie says, it's healthy to have that kind of something without something out of the ordinary. Something out of the ordinary it helps to do that. It's, you know, industrial as well seems like it's due something of a renaissance now. Industrial music went away almost for a little bit. It feels like there's something coming up again with that. You know, there feels as though there's a movement. So that just screams interesting to me. That's something I really do want to see. So then we're gearing up now for the sort of the the final sort of run up to the main headliners. You've got Beyond Salvation, so no problems there. Yeah, fantastic. Like,
basically, similar to what I said before about Hogan, you know, Manchester Thrash legends, you know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this is the first time they play for us. And I've seen him so many times in different places. Seen him in a back garden in bloody St. Helens one year, you know. And it's like, it's just one of them bands that we've tried and it just never sat and it just never felt. Or, you know, we'd already booked the band for this, that and the other. And it's always bothered me that they've never played a show for us. And to me, this is what I want. I want these to play shows for us. Let's start now. Let's get it on. And,
ladies and gentlemen, do you hear what Beanie's saying? It bothered him that they didn't play for him. That's how you know. That's what promoters should be, ladies and gentlemen. I want promoters to be pissed off that they haven't put a band on. I want that because they fucking care. You know, this isn't like some kind of cash grab fucking booker puts all the shows on and isn't even there when the night opens. This is real shit. This is people booking bands that they want, that it physically hurts to not play that particular band, not have that band on. It's how it fucking should be. That's how it should be. If these people care this much, you should care enough to buy a fucking ticket. All they're putting it on. They're doing all this work. All you have to do is turn up and enjoy yourself. You've got a fuck, ladies and gentlemen, you've got a great deal here, you know. So then we get something out of the ordinary. And we talked a little bit about that. But I'm still interested to me. It's still something I want to see. I want to see what that is like. I've never saw them live, heard them, you had lots of things, never saw them live. It just screams something interesting.
Yeah, so if you go back to 2009, there was a Fozzie that was kind of finding his way with sound engineering, starting off shows. We were putting on anyone that sort of came forward. And I mean, that sort of time, I was kind of mid-20s, learning my way. Something out of the ordinary. We're all 14-year-olds. They walked into Pentra. One of the guys, Ed, who plays bass, he came forward and he said, I want to be a sound engineer, but I can't really get anyone to give me an opportunity because I'm 14. And I took Ed under my wing. He then started teaching me things immediately. and the rest of them are all just musicians in their own right. They do their own music aside from something out of the ordinary. And as they've grown up, they've all found themselves in different cities. There's five of them. One of them's from Wigan. One of them's from Sheffield. There's one still Chester area, one in Broughton, and then the other one's down in Telford. So they hadn't been playing as a band for about 10 years. But when they did My Battle of the Bands in 2009, they won it outright against bands like Zebedee that you will have heard of. Zebedee have got probably, what, six albums out now, I think it is.
Yeah.
And well-established band that were established back in 2009. And something out of the ordinary were chosen by the audience as their band that year over someone like Zebedee. And they're a progressive rock band, but they've got elements in there that Gaz, who plays guitar, rhythm guitar, he's one of my best mates. And he's about 8 foot tall, bless him. So he kind of stands on the front of the stage and leans into the audience. And he's always had that edge that he's added to the band that brings them over into metal. And I think you find when you listen to the music, it's quite varied because you've got Shannon that's got quite a soft vocal. Ben is all about playing big guitar riffs. Ed's bass skills are phenomenal. And I just think, as a band, it's nice to bring... I got them to come back for my 40th last year, and there was a lot of people that were excited by it, and they weren't going to do another gig. And I said, look, there's an opportunity if you want it. So they've come back. They're probably going to play the set that you've probably heard back in September, that it'll be 8 or 9 songs that everybody will know from probably 10 years ago. But it's just nice to stick them all back in a room and stick them on a stage and give them the opportunity to play their music. And it's probably going to be a very rare opportunity to watch them.
Because they're all from different cities. So it's, I think it'll be quite nice to work with them again and give them the opportunity to see what people make of them, because it's kind of progressive metal.
It's such an interesting eclectic mix. It almost shouldn't work, but it does because it stands on the shoulders of the musicians' talent.
And
that always has fascinated me about them. You know, on paper, like you say, it shouldn't really kind of, it shouldn't gel, but it does, and it works really well. So yeah, that's going to be, and like you say, one of those rare opportunities. You're probably not going to see them. You're just not. It just does. These are once in a blue moon events for this band, you know. So then we're nearly at the end now. This, what a fucking bill this has been. It's so interesting. And then so talk to me about Struck Down.
Right, okay. So Struck Down, they're from down south somewhere, proper southerners. And beginning of the year, they were messaging us saying, you know, we want to do a show for you, we want to do a show for you, blah, blah, blah. So generally, bands send us stuff. Send them something back saying, okay, where you're from, what's your expectations, blah, blah, blah. And these guys, I think they're from Essex Way, and they says, look, we just want to come and play for you. You know, can you give us a go? We want to play up north. We haven't played many shows there. And so I'm like, well, look, okay, you know, we'll put you on a bill. We've already spent on this bill, so we can't really give you much. We'll see if we take a lot of money, blah, 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 we'll give you something. So they're like, yeah, we're up for it. Stick us on. So we put them on the bill, and they booked their own hotel rooms, and they came early. They came for the whole day, and we're watching the bands. And, you know, I think they went on about fourth on the bill or something on one of our all days. And no disrespect to the other bands. And again, this is why I'm not going to mention which show it was. But you just felt another level. They got up there, they started playing, and it was like, this is another level. This is a band. They've come up off their own back. You know, we will give them what we can. But what we will do is we'll invite them back. And again, as before, soon as they got off stage, I'm over to them. Give me a T-shirt, you know, that sort of thing. And, first thing we can say to them, right, these are a Pentrefest band. We're going to get them back up here. We're going to put them in front of people, and hopefully they're going to just, you know, level.
It's one of those things, isn't it, being that, like, you know, you don't have to be an expert to know something's good and it's something's amazing. You don't have to be, you know, I don't know anything about ballet, but I know what it looks like when it's done well. I don't know anything about pottery, but I know what a decent vase looks like. And the very thimble full of knowledge that I have about metal, I know when it's done well, and it's almost unsaid. You just look at each other and go, these are smashing it. And it's such a powerful thing to see. It's so exciting to see. And, you know, and then to reward them by asking them back, simple stuff, play a good show, you get asked back. That's how it works, ladies and gentlemen.
And that's it. And these guys, I mean, it's cost them to come and play for us the first time. It's cost them. And to be honest, they'll do lucky to break even just coming to play this show as well because of where they're coming from. So this is
buy their merch.
Yeah.
Buy their merch. Well, that's 100%. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but once you see them on stage, you know, I mean, we've done this with a lot of other bands as well. And, you know, they come, I mean, I'll mention Son of Gore as well because, you know, they've come and played for us from Bradford. And they've come and played, and it's just a case of when you see them on stage, and you know, you just the power wall of sound comes off the stage. It's just amazing, and you look around and you just see people mesmerized and things like that, and Struck Down with the same. And I just thought we've got to do something with these guys because again, you know, I don't know how competitive it is down south, and you know how often they get shows and this, that, and the other. But these guys are putting themselves out to come and play for us, and you know,
That's how you do it. You know, if you're in a young band and you want to play other cities, be prepared to not make much money, break even at best. And when you go there, you know, just be nice to promoters and don't be a dickhead to work with. Be good guys, and if you're good, you get asked back. It's not fucking. it's not rocket science, it's heavy metal. You know, it's like, it's this is the way it is. You know, don't be a dickhead. Play really well. You know, be good to work with. Simple, simple stuff, like, you know, that sometimes people can't even master that. Like, so, you know, I'm so good. It's so nice to expand
that. Along the lines of that as well, you know, we talk to each other. You know, when bands get approach promoters, you know, they'll look down and say, oh, what shows have you played? And they'll be speaking to us, oh, this band has applied to us, what do you think? And, you know, obviously with these guys, I'll say, yeah, pull them on. And if I can afford it and I'm not working, I'll come down myself, you know. Yeah. But, yeah, and that's you know, the words coming out of your mouth there is spot on, you know. But, yeah, these
guys. That's how it works, is that, like, you know, ladies and gentlemen, if your band's fucking great, you're going to have to, you know, you can get away with maybe some dickhead behaviour, but you're going to have to be fucking brilliant. But you can't be – no one's that good that someone's going to put up with your shit. You know what I mean? And it gets remembered. Yeah. it gets remembered, and promoters talk to each other, you know. And if you're a dickhead to work with, you better be damn sure your band's fucking the best thing in the world. And even then, you're probably not going to get us back. I don't care how good your band is. If you're a dickhead to the band, you're a dickhead to promoters, you're just not going to get asked back. This is the game. It's the same when you go on tour with bands. It's like, if you're a dickhead on tour, you'll get chucked off tour. This is practice for it. It's practice for being a good human. You know what I mean? Just be nice to each other, for fuck's sake. So we get to the headliners, and we talked about it before. And Crystal are they're a wonderful bunch of lads, as I've said before. But as good as and nice as they are heavy as shit, and they are fucking. They have got a clutch of songs. I was telling this to them. That's just it's bomb proof. Like, they've got like 4 or 5 bangers that they put in a row when they played Metal to the Masses. And I was like, fucking hell, you can't get a credit card in between these riffs. Like, they're so good. And what's great is that they've been on that main stage. So they bring that main stage mentality, that main stage vibe to your stage.
Yeah. And one thing I do need to do is give a shout out to Che and Alison. I don't know if you know Che and Alison, but Che and Alison, they go around in a camper van to pretty much every metal show, the help at events. They've always supported Pench Fest. They've always been there. And Che, for many years, has been saying to me, have a chat with Neil from Chrysler. Get Chrysler to come. And it's never really worked out previously until Che said to me, here's his phone number. Nail him down.
I'm phoning you now. I'm dialing it now for you. Talk to him.
Just ring him. And I'm like, right, okay. So stop going back and forth on Facebook. See what you can put together. And you've got to thank him for that, because Chrysler, they're just going to be amazing to see on the Pench stage, because it's nice to have bands of that level that you know.
Yeah.
I mean, over the years, they've had different members that have changed over the years, that they're not going to be the same band that they were back in the day, if you like. But I think now, with the music that they're working on and what's coming out next, they're going to reach another level. And for us to have them now, before that new music comes out with the new members, I think we've kind of hit them at the right time, just to see where they go with that. And I'm hoping they're going to get main stage Bloodstock again after the play Pencher.
it's exciting times for their camp. Like, you know, I'm looking forward to hearing new music by them. We may even new music in their set. I dare say they will. You know, that's going to be able to hear. And they really are one of those bands that too many people are sleeping on. They don't realise just how fucking good they are.
I think they're a band that, by the scene, are massively undervalued.
100%.
I think by now they should be much bigger. They should be getting European tours and playing, well, quite high up on some big festivals.
Yeah.
I think it's a crime that they're not, really. Yeah. And hopefully now that they're going to be
settled. This new stuff will probably rectify an enormous amount of that. It says, ladies and gentlemen, it says, you know when they say about the company you keep tells you the man you are? Yeah. The same is true for promoters, gentlemen. And someone like Chrysler coming to play your show and headline your show speaks volumes about you as promoters. You know, and these bands, you know, we've talked about the ones that we know, the ones that we maybe don't know. it speaks volumes that these are the bands. And listen, to we've just talked about each of those acts there, and you've got a story and a point of connection and something you've had with those bands. They're not just being fucking, ladies and gentlemen, you're not just pulling names out of a fucking hat here. There's thought and coherence and you know, a story behind why we're booking this band and what we're doing and a history. And it, like I say, it speaks to you, gentlemen, that, you know, that these bands are playing your show. You know, they choose to play these shows, and they chose your show because of the work you put in. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, we could do a whole, we should do more shows together. That's the truth. You know, we're family. We should be doing more of these again, because I always feel as though I'm always not doing enough when I talk to you. Always feel as though I'm not doing enough. Always find about three bands I've not heard of that I'm embarrassed and I've got to go back and fucking listen to them. And I always think that, you know, if I ever didn't do this or promote a step back, at least someone else is holding that flag up and at the front. Do you know what I mean? And so, ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure, as it always is, to, you know, thanks for coming on the show. It's been in the forest, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for coming on the show. This Pentry Fest, I'll put all the details up on social media. Naturally, I'll put all the links so you can buy tickets. Have we not convinced you now to go to this fucking show? What more do you want? What more do you want? This is a varied bill, all kinds of acts, of all kinds of levels, of all kinds of styles, beautifully curated. You know, why don't you tell me why you're not going? I think it's a shorter list. Is there a list? No, there isn't. You go in, and that's the end of it. So once you've listened to this, there'll be a link underneath. Just buy your tickets and go, you know, support the people that are supporting this scene. And that's important too. Gents, pleasure as always. Absolutely. I love talking to you guys. I think Pantry Fest is going to be fucking, it doesn't need any help. Certainly doesn't need my podcast to promote it. This will be fucking great. Every year before has got better and better. And this feels like this is a special one this year. So, gents, you know, thanks for coming on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been in the Foss.
Having us. Cheers now.
You're more than welcome. See you again, guys.
Ozzy and Beanie there talking about Pentryfest 2024. How good does that bill sound? It's always nice to talk to Ozzy and Beanie. What they're doing for the scene is unquantifiable. It's amazing. They're doing absolutely superb work, and this festival needs your support, because the bands need your support, the promoters need your support, the venues need your support. It's important. We can't forget about this. It's a constant war. It's a constant battle to keep places going so bands can play sets and play music. And it's a constant battle for our scene. It's almost never ending. The work has to be put in. The work has to be put in. And Ozzy and Beanie are doing exactly that with the wonderful Pentry Fest 2024. As always, I'll be putting links to buy tickets for the show. It's looking like it's going to be a great bill. What a varied bill, and what a wonderful example of how to book and what a promoter requires. We got into some great stuff there about being a promoter and what, you know, if you're a young band and a new band wanting to start getting yourself out there, how to approach that and how to act. And I thought there was some incredibly wonderful lessons in there as well. As always, thanks for listening to the show. I really appreciate everything, all the feedback that you've gave me and where the show's going and the wonderful guests that we've got lined up. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you at the show.